Shabbat shalom. This week's parasha is entitled Bayeki, meaning, and he lived. It covers Genesis chapter 47, verse 28 through chapter 50, verse 26. Israel and his sons were now living comfortably in Egypt, though due to the ongoing famine, the Egyptians were impoverished in their own land. It is interesting to note that Joseph spent 17 years of his life with his father before being sold into slavery. Now, Jacob would spend 17 years of his life in Egypt with Joseph, who held such a lofty place of honor. And what a wonderful 17 years these would be. Israel called his son, Joseph, and had him swear to honor his last request. Jacob requested to be buried in the promised land of Canaan in the cave of Machpelah, which Abraham had purchased for Sarah when she died. Machpelah was also the place where Abraham, Isaac, Rebekah, and Leah were buried. Joseph swore to this oath to honor his father's request. Chapter 48 opens as Joseph is informed that his father's health had taken a turn for the worse. So Joseph goes to see him, taking along his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Israel said to Joseph, Adonai, the all-sufficient one, appeared to me at Luz and said, I will make you a great people and nation. Your descendants will own this land forever. Your two sons were born here in Egypt. Ephraim and Manasseh will be counted as my own sons. The untimely death of Jacob's wife, Rachel, made it impossible for Jacob to have any more children by her. And for that reason, Jacob now adopts Joseph's children as his own and makes them sons of Israel. Now remember, Rachel was Joseph's mother. So these two sons of Joseph will be treated as sons of Jacob when it comes to the birthright blessing. Joseph was upset, however, when his father reversed his hands in order to put the primary blessing on Ephraim, the younger one, instead of Manasseh, the older. But Jacob had heard from God and knew exactly what he was doing. And so, for the fifth time in the book of Genesis, we see a divinely ordained reversal of the birth order. Adonai chose Abel, not Cain, Isaac, not Ishmael, Jacob, not Esau, Joseph, not Reuben, and now he would choose Ephraim over Manasseh. The Jacob said to Joseph, I have given you one portion of land above your brothers. And if we took a look at a Bible map of the locations of the tribes in Israel, we will easily see the fulfillment of this blessing centuries later. The birthright also included a second component, namely that the recipient will have the high honor of being an ancestor of Messiah. This was unique to Jacob's family lineage. No other family in the human race will have this messianic distinction. In the ancient world, the one to receive this birthright blessing normally was the firstborn. In Jacob's family, that would have been Reuben. However, scripture tells us that Reuben forfeited his claim to the birthright when he laid with Bilhah, his father's concubine. And since Reuben forfeited the birthright, it would pass to another son of Jacob. Joseph will receive this double portion part, and Judah the tribal leadership part. In chapter 49, it opens with Jacob on his deathbed, knowing that his time was drawing near. He summoned all his sons. "My sons," he said, "come here to me, and I will tell you what will happen to you in the future." Now, these would not merely be the sayings of a dying saint, but the oracles of an inspired prophet. The benedictions of these patriarchal blessings by Jacob are rich in imagery. Five of the sons are portrayed with features of various beasts. Judah is compared to a lion, Issachar to a donkey, Dan to a serpent, Naphtali to a deer, and Benjamin to a wolf. Also, another imagery, Joseph is compared to a branch and tree, Simeon and Levi to instruments of cruelty, and Reuben to the instability of water. Now, after these blessings, Jacob again expressed to his 12 sons his desire to be buried in the tomb of his fathers, which Joseph had already promised by oath to perform. Then he drew his feet into the bed and took his last breath. Jacob was 130 years of age when he went down into Egypt, and 147 when he died. Joseph instructed that his father's body be embalmed for burial. All of Egypt mourned Jacob for 2.5 months. An escort of Egyptian officials served as an honor guard as Jacob's body was carried back to Canaan. And this would be Joseph's first time back in his homeland in 39 years. Now, after Jacob's burial, Joseph's guilt-ridden brothers feared that he would seek retribution. But Joseph assures them that he had no such intention, especially since Adonai had brought so much good out of the situation. Joseph and his brothers and their families continued to live in Egypt. Joseph told his brothers, "Soon I will die, but Adonai will surely come to help you and lead you out of this land of Egypt. He will bring you back to the land he promised to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." Joseph's final request was that he also be buried in Canaan. And finally, we learn that Joseph died at 110 years of age. His request for burial in Canaan would be honored, but not for several centuries. And so we have now concluded the book of Genesis. What lessons can we take from this parsha? Some see Jacob's words to his sons as punishment, but we need to remember that rebukes and reprimands are often blessings in disguise. They are given to us for our good and for our well-being. They are often our best and most needed blessings. Therefore, we should endure discipline. God is treating us as sons and daughters. And if we are not occasionally disciplined by him, then he is not our father. Through this discipline comes a strengthening of our faith so that we may draw closer to the living God. And by doing so, we more adequately reflect his son, Yeshua, our Messiah, to those around us. Jacob's eyes were dim, but by faith he could see a very long way. He could see the coming of Shiloh, the Messiah. Messiah for our salvation was born in Bethlehem and died on the cross at Calvary. He descended into the grave. He trotted the lowest valleys of shame and grief. He drank the deepest cup of wrath and torment for us. For us, he grappled with all the powers of darkness and broke the chains of death, hell, and the grave. Then He ascended to heaven and now sits on the right hand of God, our Father. And for accomplishing all of this, he now reigns, prays, and makes intercessions on high for us. Shabbat shalom.